Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the National Women's Law Center's post-budget update, What to Expect for Early Childhood in 2012. All lines have been placed on a listen-only mode. If you should require assistance throughout the conference, please press star zero to reach a live operator. At this time, it is my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Director of Leadership and Public Policy at the National Women's Law Center, Helen Blank. Ma'am, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. I'm pleased to be joined today by Adele Robinson at NAEYC and Hannah Matthews at CLASP. Welcome to our call, Budget Update, What to Expect for Early Childhood in Calendar Year 2012. Due to the large number of registered participants, callers' telephone lines will be muted during the conference. If you have questions that you would like to submit, please email Allison Chanon, achannon@nwlc.org at any time during this call. A written and audio transcript of this call will be available on our website, www.nwlc.org, as well as our other participants' websites. On Monday, February 13th, as you know, the President released his FY 2013 budget proposal. It's important to keep remembering that this is the President's request to Congress, and these numbers are just proposals at this time. Let's start with a reminder about the Budget Control Act agreed to last year that set caps on the total amount of discretionary spending for the next 10 years. So in a very tight budget year, it is heartening to see proposed increases for early learning programs. Yet, the budget offers an uneven picture. First, let's talk about the administration's request for the Child Care and Development Block Grant. The administration proposed a total of $825 million for CCDBG, of which $325 million is discretionary funding subject to the annual appropriations process and would have to be included in the FY 2013 appropriations bill. These funds do not require a state match. $500 million of the request is mandatory funding, which would require an authorization apart from the annual appropriations process, which we'll talk about more in a minute. Of the $325 million in discretionary funding, $300 million is proposed for quality improvement grants to states. A portion of these funds, and the budget document does not say how much, would go to states through the CCDBG formula available to all states that submit a plan describing how they will be used. Another portion would be distributed through a competitive process. It's envisioned that the funds would support state efforts to build their quality infrastructures, rating systems, or other quality indicators to help parents identify high-quality childcare and provide direct supports to programs and teachers to improve quality. A third portion would be set aside for evaluation. The remaining $500 million increase would be in mandatory funds. These funds, as you may remember, require a state match and are not decided by the Appropriations Committee. They have to be authorized by the Senate Finance and House Ways and Means Committee to become a reality. This is something that is quite a challenge, as in the past, mandatory funds have only been adjusted when those committees reauthorize the TANF Block Grant. However, the extension of the payroll tax cut that was recently signed by the President includes an extension of TANF and the current mandatory child care funding through September 30th. This means that for these committees, which already have much on their plate, taxes, unemployment insurance, Social Security, among other issues, it would be quite a lift to have them focus on child care this year. The mandatory increase that was in the budget for FY 2012 did not get any consideration from these committees. Well, we will try on both fronts. We are not optimistic that mandatory funds will be increased this year. So you will see a lot of alerts on the discretionary side because we know that Congress has to do something in appropriations committees each year. It will be crucial to let our members of Congress know that an increase tied to improving the quality of child care is important, but it's equally important to ensure that children do not lose child care assistance. The budget says that even with the $8.25 million increase, 1.5 million children would receive child care assistance. That would be the smallest number of children served in CCDBG in nearly a decade. It is a drop, from the $1.6 million previously served with CCDBG funds in 2009, and the latest data from 2010 showing 1.7 million children, but those include the children served with ARRA funds. We are very concerned about trends that we see in the states. First, there was a $700 million loss in TANF funds targeted for child care in 2010, the latest data available. Second, a number of states and counties that we're tracking continue to make or propose serious cuts in both access to child care and quality. For middle-class families, there is a child independent care tax credit. The budget proposes restructuring the credit to provide more support to middle-income families. Families earning $75,000 would be eligible for a 55% credit of their expenses, up to $6,000 for two or more children, and the credit would phase down to 20% at $103,000. Unfortunately, it does not ask Congress to make the credit refundable. Now let's talk about the President's proposal for Head Start funding. The President's proposal would increase funding for Head Start by only $85 million. $40 million of the increase would be targeted to supporting the new Head Start competition over a two-year period. These funds would support new providers and transition costs. $45 million would be for a cost of living increase. This would unfortunately provide for no increase in the number of children receiving Head Start, despite the growth in the eligible population with the increase in the number of young children living in poverty. To date, we're still only serving fewer than half of eligible preschoolers in Head Start and less than 4% of eligible infants and toddlers in early Head Start. Funding for the 21st Century Community Learning Centers program, which supports after-school services, would be frozen at last year's appropriated level. It would remain at $1.125 billion. The proposal in the budget would allow a portion of these funds to be used to extend the school day, which could result in less money for core after-school programs and less hours covered for families. This is because extending the school day involves paying teacher salaries, and that is more costly than simply funding after-school services. Adele, can you talk about the budget and the other education programs?
Thank you, Helen. The administration does include a number of funding increases related to early learning in the Department of Education's budget. They propose another round of Race to the Top for $850 million, with a significant portion for an early learning challenge. However, their budget documents do not say what exact number that proportion would be. Other education programs that support early learning would receive some modest increases. Part C, Early Intervention for Infants and Toddlers, would receive a $20 million increase if the President's budget is adopted. Promised Neighborhoods would rise from $60 to $100 million. On the other hand, some large programs are flat funded, that is, no increase over last year in his proposal. Section 619 of the Special Education Preschool Grants would be frozen, as would Title I and the Campus Child Care Program. So many of you are probably still asking, well, what happened to the fiscal year 2012 Race to the Top of $550 million? Isn't it time for a second set of grant awards? As you recall, there is also a significant amount of Race to the Top set aside for K-12 education. The administration is considering using the bulk of these fiscal year 2012 funds for a competition that would not be directed at states but directed to local school districts with a focus on K-12 and with the possibility of including criteria related to early childhood. Many of us have been working hard with the administration and Congress to advocate that a portion of this $550 million be set aside for a second round of state systems grants for the Early Learning Challenge in the same way as the first round of grants. If this occurs, it is likely that there would not be a new competitive process, but instead several of the states that were next in line after the 9 grant awards would be up for grants in the second round. But that's just our sense of it. We don't have any documentation. We have nothing from the administration that specifies how they will go about the fiscal year 2012 split. Several of you in the lineup have written to your members of Congress urging them to weigh in with the administration about the importance of a second round of a state competition. Recently, there was a session at the Department of Education where all three of our national organizations and others gave their input regarding the use of funds for 2013 and argue strongly for another round of state competitions. So stay tuned. For those working on literacy issues specifically, the administration would consolidate the Striving Readers and the Ready to Learn TV programs, essentially eliminating them as separate categorical programs and creating a new literacy program within ESEA. There are no details, so we have no idea what would be available of those funds for birth to five-year-olds and for children in the early grades. Again, this is only a part of the administration's ESEA reauthorization blueprint and budget request, and it does look unlikely that the ESEA reauthorization will all finish in this calendar year.
Thank you, Adele. Hannah, can you talk about the status of reauthorizations and other issues affecting early childhood?
Yes. Hi, everyone. On the reauthorization front, it does look as though we have lost some momentum, both for reauthorization of CCDBG and the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, ESEA. Senator Mikulski, the chair of the Senate Subcommittee on Children and Families, held two hearings focusing on early childhood and a potential reauthorization of CCDBG. We shared an outline of the coalition's priorities with staff, but it's unclear at this stage, particularly in an election year, whether a reauthorization will actually move forward. ESEA is in a similar position. Senator Harkin's Health Committee has marked up a version of reauthorization, but there are no plans at this time to bring it to the Senate floor. As you may remember from our last call, we did successfully seed some early childhood language into that markup bill. The House is working on several bills focusing on ESEA and plans another markup at the end of the month. There really isn't anything new for early childhood in the bills that the House committee chairman has introduced. And the approach in the House is significantly different from that of the Senate. The House chairman has decided not to try for a bipartisan bill, unlike the Senate committee. Senator Harkin, the chair of the Health Committee and the Labor, Health and Human Services and Education Subcommittee, also plans to introduce a broad-based bill to help middle-class families that would include an increase of funds for CCDBG. But this would be separate from any efforts to reauthorize the program. As Helen mentioned, last week Congress passed an extension of the payroll tax cut and unemployment insurance. This also included an extension of TANF through the end of the current fiscal year, September 30th. Although TANF is technically scheduled to be reauthorized, it now looks extremely unlikely that this will move forward. Despite the decline in TANF funds used for child care is still the second largest use of TANF dollars after basic cash assistance and really important to our child care programs. On another front, the Department of Health and Human Services has announced that they plan to issue new regulations for the Child Care and Development Block Grant in the coming months. These regulations will track a number of areas that were included in the preprint for CCDBG, the new state plans, and would include health and safety, improving quality, making the process for receiving child care assistance more family friendly. We will be filling you in on the regulations when they are released, and we'll also be providing a template for comments to the administration. That's really all the information that we have about the regulations at this time. We are excited that the administration continues to prioritize investments in early learning. And as we monitor state developments around child care assistance and pre-kindergarten, we do, however, have cause for concern that in many respects we are losing ground. We'll be setting up a conference call to review what's happening on the ground in states and strategies that advocates are using to really stay the course in the coming months. So stay tuned for more information on that. So what's next in DC? Well, the House is expected to introduce the House budget, or the Ryan budget, in the next several weeks. We anticipate that this will look very similar to the one that was released last year, which you may remember included significant cuts in discretionary dollars that fund early learning programs. If you remember, last year the Senate did not pass its own budget resolution. Much of the action around the President's budget focused on the appropriations process. This year, the outlook for a constructive process also appears extremely bleak. It may be that the appropriations bills are not completed before the November election. That means that there will be a lot happening during the lame duck session of Congress. This could involve not only decisions about funding levels for early childhood, but also debates around the expiration of the Bush-era tax cuts. Those expire in December 2012, as well as continuation of improvements in important tax credits for children and families. Congress may also address the pending sequester, which we talked about on the last call, which will, if not addressed, will trigger significant cuts in programs like Head Start, as well as a portion of child care funding early in 2013. At this stage, it's important that you keep talking to your members of Congress, as well as candidates for office, about the importance of early learning. Let them know that it helps children learn and helps parents earn. With the prospect of sequestration, we want to work especially hard this year on appropriations to make sure that we gain additional funding before any potential cuts in January. National groups will also continue working hard to prevent these automatic cuts from taking place. We know that it will be difficult in this budget and in this political climate, but we have to do what we can for children and families. NWLC will be sponsoring a conference call March 13th at 1 p.m. Eastern about the do's and don'ts of advocating in an election year. We also urge you to continue to share with us developments that are happening in your states and communities. Remember that in a very tight budget, the administration has continued to press for increases in funding for a myriad of programs that impact children and their families' early learning opportunities. So you are doing a great job. It's important that we continue to keep this issue in front of policymakers. Please let your members of Congress know that you need to call and write and email them to ask for significant increases in child care and Head Start. We'll also be asking for a substantial portion of Race to the Top funds to be used for early learning. Stay tuned for an email following this call with specific numbers that we'll be asking for in the appropriations process. We want to make sure that we ask for sufficient funds to keep child care whole and to ensure that Head Start has sufficient funds to sustain quality.
Thank you, Hannah and Adele. If you'd like to ask any questions, please mail them to A. Shannon at C-H-A-N-N-O-N at NWLC.org. We have a question about Race to the Top money. Is the Race to the Top money in the FY 2013 budget in addition to the money already allocated to the nine states over 4 years for Early Learning Challenge? Adele?
Yes, it is. And you have to think about these as separate competitions. So the nine states have received their amount, and they can spend it over 4 years. And so now the question is of other states, more money available, so that it's more than a one-year grant competition.
Can you explain the relationship of the president's budget for FY13 and the sequestration in 2013? Well, the president's budget lays out amounts related to existing discretionary caps. Under sequestration, discretionary programs would, except for a very few, would be subject to a 9.1% cut in 2013. And that cut would be to each program. The Congress won't have an opportunity the first year of the sequestration to decide between programs. The discretionary part of CCDBG would be subject to the sequester and Head Start. This mandatory part of Child Care and Development Block Grant would not be subject to the sequester. But when you think about it, if you're just looking at FY last year's fiscal year funding levels, those would be pretty deep cuts. Head Start is slightly over $8 billion. If you took off 9%, you're talking about a very, very large cut. So we're going to be doing some work to let Congress know that the sequestration would have pretty dire effects for early learning programs. We don't know that a drive to protect one program or another under discretionary is going to work. We think we all have to work together, people who are working on different programs for children and families, to give them the message that a sequestration would very much hurt early learning or after school or education, so we create a drumbeat against the possibility of a sequestration process. It can be turned around, but it is worrisome to have it out there. Remember that Allison is A. Chanon, C-H-N-N-O-N, at nwlc.org. Hannah, can you explain, can you lay out a timeline? Someone wanted to know, when are they going to do appropriations in the budget?
Well, that's a great question. The House, as we said, is expected soon, perhaps next week, to release their budget. So we start with the budget resolution, which is what lays the framework for the appropriations process. Typically, we will be meeting with members of the Appropriations Committee and working on appropriations in the spring, and we're going to be doing that. But the reality is that this year, as you might remember from last year, we do expect that this will be a lengthy process with a lot of disagreements in the
House. Will now be disconnected by the leader.
We're so sorry, everybody. This has never happened. We lost you all. We hope some of you are back. Hannah was talking about the timing for all of this.
Hi. So as I was saying, the House will move forward with a budget proposal relatively soon, which we anticipate will have some deep cuts again for discretionary programs. It's unlikely that that appropriations will come to any final decisions in the near future. You may remember in past years we've had continuing resolutions. We anticipate that even though we will work hard in the appropriations and we need to continue getting the message out in the next few months and going forward about the importance of childcare and Head Start, and we will likely appropriations will be happening in the lame duck session after the election.
We just got another question. Is there any hope of the continuation of any of the TANF one-time funds, emergency, contingency, et cetera?
Not at this time. The extension of TANF that was just passed as part of the payroll extension that funds TANF through September 30th did not include those supplemental grants that expired last year. Those grants are gone, and other contingency funds have also not been continued. So at this point, we do not anticipate additional funds until for another reauthorization of TANF would be an opportunity to have some additional funding.
We have a question about when will the administration make a decision on the next Race to the Top competition? Adele?
I wish we knew. Well, clearly they're gearing up because they asked us all to come in and talk about the Race to the Top, and we all dutifully sang the same songbook of more state grants, stay the course, don't destabilize at this point. But we do not have an inkling of what specific week. I would assume it will be relatively soon, but that said, that doesn't necessarily mean this week or next week. So stay tuned.
Another question about Race to the Top is, if there is another state-focused competition with the FY13 dollars, do we know what states will get the money, whether there will be another competition? We know that there's definitely a lineup of states who scored higher after the first nine.
So this is all conjecture on our part because the administration hasn't said what it would do with the fiscal year 2012 or 2013 specifically. We do know that, remember that the Race to the Top money for K-12 originated with the ARRA funding. And when they had their second and third years of grants, they did go down the list based on the reviewer's scores. So it is our supposition and only a supposition that they will do the same. They could decide if they wanted to reopen up and ask states to recompete. So we're really not sure, but the precedent was set in K-12. and we think that is probably more effective and efficient for all considered.
Someone just asked, and this is something we've been wrestling with in the last few days, is what is a specific ask for FY 2013 when we talk about appropriations?
So we have been struggling with this question. We recognize that it was a tight budget, and we are really grateful that the administration put forward the proposals for $825 million for CCDBG and $85 million for Head Start. That said, we want to be sure that our ask is really sufficient to keep childcare whole so that we maintain the children who we are currently serving, as well as make quality improvements in the program. We also want to make sure that Head Start has sufficient funding to maintain all of the quality of the program as well. So at this point, we're considering whether the proposals in the President's budget meet those criteria and are doing some analysis on our own of what funding levels we think will be sufficient to meet those criteria. So we will be sending out very soon figures for both of those programs as to and what the rationale is behind those numbers.
Okay. We mentioned regulations, and someone wants to know more about the regulations coming out of the Office of Child Care.
This is another area where we have to say we wish we knew more and stay tuned. At this point, we are very, very early in the process for these regulations, so what we've said about them is really all that is on the OMB website right now. We do think that the regulations will track pretty closely with the types of ideas that the Office of Child Care has been putting forward through the new state plan, their focus on being family-friendly. Any new regulations will have to go through a process here in Washington, and so the next step is that the regulations will come forward for comments. And so when that happens, we will be distributing them, and we'll be making sure that we share our recommendations for comments to submit. But right now, we don't have any more information on the actual content of those regulations.
Is there anything we can do about the drop in TANF funding for child care? We know that TANF funds a great deal with child care, and this seems to be a great concern.
TANF is difficult because, as you all know, it's a block grant, and the funding has been set for many years now, and TANF funds a large number of programs really important for low-income families. So it's always a struggle to get those dollars when they're needed in so many different places. Certainly, we are concerned about the drop both in TANF funds spent directly on child care and those transferred to CCDBG. These are state decisions, so the advocacy on TANF would need to be at the state level to try to ensure that those dollars are supporting child care.
So that's all the questions we have for today. We think we've lost some of you when we unfortunately had our call dropped off, and we apologize. We started the call talking about the fact that in a tight budget year, early learning got some increases in the President's budget. I think it's so important, given the support for early learning from the administration, the huge gaps we have around the country, despite the great recognition now of the early years, that we keep working on this issue both at the federal and state level. We know that many of you in a number of states are facing enormous battles around your early childhood or your child care system in your state budgets this year, and they're taking a lot of energy. But and you may think, well, this budget isn't even going to get wrapped up. They're not going to do appropriations until after the election, possibly. Why should I write? Because everybody else is writing to Congress about their particular issue. And when push comes to shove, the bulk of money for early childhood comes out of Washington, and the core services are still funded by child care and Head Start. And they won't stay the same, much less get increased, unless your member of Congress hears from you. And we know everybody's busy, and maybe not everyone can do a site visit to a program, which is important. But we would urge you to make sure that you have contact with your member of Congress, whether you make a visit to the district office, whether you drop in when you're here. There are lots of recesses where whether you visit district staff. They should know that they have constituents who care about early learning and who know that Washington is responsible for the bulk of support that parents get and the bulk of support that help prepare our children for success. So, you know, please pay attention to alerts. Please develop a relationship with your member of Congress or at a minimum with their staff. Let them know that you're out there as a resource. One day CCDVG will face a reauthorization. Appropriations decisions are going to get made, and we need your help. So thank you for all your hard work. Don't forget that the audio transcript and written transcript will be available on our websites. Thank you all for your time, and have a great day.